The apocalyptic vision of a criminally insane, charismatic cult leader.
Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. You're the man who would not take it anymore. Who would not let... Listen, you fuckers, you screwheads. You're the man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the cunts, the dogs, the filth, the shit. Here is someone who stood up.
All I know is this violates every canon of respectable broadcasting.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature! And you will atone!
We have to strike now, sir! Annihilate! Kill! Kill! Annihilate! Kill! Kill! Annihilate! Kill! Kill!
After very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your new defense system sucks.
I'm as mad as hell, and I am not going to take this anymore!
Hello, neighbors. How are you today? Are you feeling well? 'Cause I'm fucking not. I'm fucking sick. Fuck. Anyway, this is Droops, and this is Infonomicon Radio, and this is episode 34 of Infonomicon. It's a very special episode, 'cause not only did we start it out kind of like we're Mr. Rogers, but we're having this broadcast first at Nauticon. There's a radio program you're probably listening to right now, and if you're listening to this somewhere else, you need to go check out all the audio from Nauticon. It's awesome stuff. At least I'm thinking it's awesome stuff. It's the week before when I'm actually recording this, but I have a good feeling it's going to be good stuff. Anyway, Nauticon's in Cleveland, Ohio. You're probably too late to go if you're listening, or you're already there. Anyway... Today's date is something another. What is it? The 8th or 9th or 10th of May? I don't know when this is actually going to be broadcast. But this is Infonomicon. We're real fucking professional here. Anyway, I've been preparing a little talk that I would like to give. I might get a little loud, a little excessive here. But here we go. All right, there's these guys. Maxwell, this guy named Hertz. This dude had a name that sounded like Macaroni, but it was Marconi, and this other fella, Faraday. There's a couple other guys, and they figured out this really cool concept that if you send a signal down a wire and put another wire kind of next to it but not touching it, the second wire will receive some of that signal. This is how antennas work. Now, soon, after they figure all this out and do a lot of math, and when I say soon, I'm going to say 30, 40 years... They had these transmitters and these receivers all over the world, just sending and transmitting and receiving and decoding and all this crap. And from the beginning of all this going on, there were arguments over money. Money, you say? Huh. People find something cool, they want to make fucking profit off of it. Sounds like normal business to me. And there was also government regulation of all this mess. Marconi tried to get the British government to purchase some radios, or the Italian government, they didn't want them. He got the British government to purchase them. They were kind of handy in the naval vessels. This was before all of our Navy power was aviation power, and they were real close. You know, they'd actually line up and shoot each other, and they used light signals with semaphore. But now they had these radios that they could communicate distances with. And there was the whole Atlantic Ocean covered in these damn things, and the Titanic had one, and this, that, and the other. And there was a little wanting to get money from this. Marconi had Marconi brand radios, and no one else's radios could communicate with Marconi brand. So you had Marconi and you had Brand X. Everyone wanted to go with Marconi, but not everyone could afford the expensiveness of it. The Titanic actually had Marconi radios. And when they sent their signal of distress out, only Marconi radio-equipped ships could herd them. Didn't really matter, because when they were sending the distress signal out, the nearest ship had already closed their radio room for the night. Anyway, then there was this guy who set up a really, really big wire, and he used a transmitter to put a signal on it, and he called this thing KDKA, and it was the first broadcast station for the public. It wasn't really all that good, but it was better than what they'd had before, which was nothing. Now, a little later, this telephone company, maybe you've heard of it, was started by Sanders Hubbard and this guy with last name Bell. They started a radio station of their own. It was WEAF. Now, AT&T was a common carrier. And what a common carrier is, you fuckers are learning some shit today. Common carrier is a company that's like a public utility that distributes things, like the phone company or maybe like a trucking company. AT&T didn't create content. They just let you use their phone system to transfer content. Anyway, they had this radio station. And people were allowed to come in and give them money to be on the radio. They didn't hire DJs. They had DJs come, not really DJs. They had people come talk and try to sell a product. Anyway, the government said, hey, AT&T, we don't really want you in the radio business because you've got a pretty good monopoly on the whole telephone thing. So they made AT&T get out of the radio business, and RCA got this radio station. Now, this radio station had its name changed to WNBC. Maybe you've heard of the National Broadcasting Company. Anyway, a little while later, a law went into effect. People are making money. People are, you know, not sharing. And, government. Government's got to get in. So this law goes into effect. And it was called the Federal Radio Act of 1927. And established this group as the forerunner to the FCC. And this group regulated broadcasters and amateur users of radio. When they started regulating with this FCC-ish group, which became the FCC, not only were people not allowed to do certain things on the radio now, which kind of took away from complete free speech. You could probably say whatever you wanted, but you couldn't say certain things. And then there's advertising going on. So if your advertiser doesn't want you to say certain things, it's kind of inhibiting you there too. Well, that's not really good. So that's two people that are holding you down, as it would be. Now, anyway, that's a brief history of how we went from figuring out the whole antenna thing to figuring out that money can be made from all this, governments can regulate all this. And at least I just talked about the public sector. There's lots of non-public uses for all this. Like after World War One or two, we took control, I think it was one, we took control of the Marconi radio network and decided, you know, we don't really want to give it back to Marconi. And we gave it to GE instead, which founded RCA to manage it all. And I believe it was World War One also, maybe I'm wrong, that the Navy needed really good radio, so I think it is one. And all these people had patents and things like that, and the government said, oh, no, the Navy doesn't have to follow patents. We're not going to worry about all these patent lawsuits. The Navy's going to have the best equipment ever, and they can pretty much do whatever the fuck they want to do. And then the Navy kind of advanced equipment, but kind of fucked over everybody with their patent. So it seems that when the government doesn't care about your patent, it doesn't really matter. Anyway, now, this is just me rambling on, but between now and then, there's been lots of stuff that has to do with radio, from pirate radio to public broadcasting, college radio stations, this, that, and the other. But most radio is dominated, whoopsh, by several companies, one of which is Clear Channel, which owns 10% of all commercial radio. Now, just for a little bit of history, Clear Channel is an old broadcasting term that signified a few early AM stations that were allowed to broadcast 24 hours a day and at a higher power. This allowed them to be heard throughout the entire country at night. It's pretty nice, neat. So Clear Channel is a big superpower that's better than everyone else. At least by definition. Anyway, Clear Channel also owns TV stations, billboards, things like that. So when Clear Channel decides to tell America something, they're well within their power to do so. Of course, that's just like any other media outlet, like NBC or the New York Times. If people remember September 11, a couple years ago, Clear Channel said you can't play these certain songs on the radio, including Imagine by John Lennon and lots of stuff, probably by Lynyrd Skynyrd. I haven't really looked at the list in a long time. But it was stuff that would anger people, maybe, kind of upset them about the whole terrorist attack. But anyway, this is not a talk about why I don't like Clear Channel. But just like all media, Clear Channel included, they're run by people with their own best interests in mind. Not best interests for the common good. And I'm a common good kind of guy. Anything that I've got I can share with anybody. Things like that I don't mind. If I figure something out, I'm probably going to tell people about it. When I was a little kid, I invented a Lego piece. And I wrote a letter in to the Lego Corporation. And it cost me a lot to mail it, but my parents paid for that nice little letter. Anyway, I said, here's a piece. It'll be a great piece. Just send me like 10 of them, and we'll call it even. Because I really wanted this piece. And if y'all, I was really into pirates with Legos when I was a little kid. And the piece that I came up with held the pirate sword. And it fit in between the legs and the body. And then there was a little sword holder on the side. And I don't know why Lego never made that piece. Like, people could have a holster for their gun or their sword or like anything. But, Lego, if you're listening, you can still make it. Just send me 10 of them. To droops at infonomicon.org. Alright. Anyway. So this has been radio since we've been alive. Clear Channel's been dominating, things like that. They keep having more and more laws kind of loosened so that they can dominate more and more areas. Anyway. Now, there's this new thing that's come around in the last couple years. More than a couple years. Maybe you heard of it. It's called the Internet. And this fancy network of computers allows people to share ideas. In fact, Tim Berners-Lee, the guy that invented the World Wide Web, came up with it as a way to share ideas between physicists, which he was, and now he's not. Well, I guess he still is, but he doesn't practice it. Now, all this Internet stuff has gotten a lot better. And for the last 4 or 5 years, it's been very, very possible and affordable for common people like me to record themselves and stream it or put it up on a website for download. Now, this has given birth to, quote, radio shows that you don't have to pay for. Now, you don't have to pay for a transmitter, and they're very expensive. You just have to pay for inexpensive internet connection and a website and a little hosting. And this has had people from all genres, from crazy ass fucking weirdos to, well, I guess I kind of count as that, but anyway, from the left to the right, from the up to the down, computers, food, anything that anybody want to talk about, they can have a show. And most of this content's free. Some of it's better than others. There's been several half-ass attempts to make you pay for it. But now there's a new one I'm going to talk about in a second. Now, several years ago, there was a show called Radio Freak America, hosted by Mr. Dual Parallel. And I used to download this show to my PDA, and I would listen to it as I drove to school or drove to work or did whatever. There were other shows like it, like HackerMind, BenRev, that took advantage of this web phenomenon, where you could, you know, this is, you know, a $10 mic that I'm recording on, and this is a piece of shit computer, and I'm using Audacity, which is free software, to record this. Anyway, then comes along people like Adam Curry. Now, Adam Curry isn't some revolutionary. He's just mainly a user of people. He took this term podcast, which, not for certain, but so I think someone else came up with it, and has generated a lot of buzz with it, which is good for everyone in the whole media scene, because the more people that know about it, the more people that listen, the more people that'll come up with their own content, and the more we'll all know and better the content will get. But as I said, people like old Adam use people. Now, Adam specifically isn't really a developer. He named his show The Daily Source Code to attract developers for this fledgling podcast idea. Now, the podcast idea is just RSS, which is cool, and it's just RSS with a show like HackerMind or a show like In the Now. And RSS is kind of an old technology. But anyway, he's using this word pod, which is a very big buzzword for portable audio players from the iPod, of course. And he's making it popular. So now podcasting's possible. All you need is some content. So where does he go for content? He tells the blog people. He's got some blog. People, for some reason, think he's cool. And he tells people to record them themselves and do this podcasting thing. And, well, he's revolutionized internet radio. Well, he hasn't. He's just made more of it. There's stuff before him, and there'll be stuff after him. And it's kind of shitty that, anyway. Now, I was listening, like I said, to shows like In the Now and Portable Device way before podcasting was even thought of. Kind of don't like the word podcasting. It's kind of a sellout word, but I'm going to get into that. So there's lots of free content that people are putting out for others to enjoy with this whole podcasting thing. I've definitely gotten a lot more listeners to my radio show because of podcasting. It's really nice. But we still are doing the streaming thing. We're still doing the radio stuff. Anyway, now podcasting seems free, but it's not exactly. I'm paying $60 a month for a web host. You know, I have to pay for this computer, and it takes me several hours a week to make this show. That all, you know, that's money. It adds up. So, why don't I get an advertiser? Well, Adam Curry has taken it upon himself to come up with this thing. It's called podshow.com, I believe. And he wants people to get advertisers, mainly to get him some money, and use people's free content. So my free content has helped booster the podcasting thing. And now he's trying to make money off of it. Well, if I'd have known that, maybe I wouldn't have gone to help him. But anyway, like I said earlier, advertising is kind of bad for stuff like this. Because once you receive advertising, or advertising money, you become dependent on this advertising money. And then you're the bitch. The advertiser says, don't call Bill Gates a pussy. I can't say, hey, Bill Gates, you're pussy. Because the advertiser wouldn't give me any money. So then I would have to say something like, oh, Bill Gates is such a nice fella. He's very much of a humanitarian instead of, yeah, most rich people feel guilty because they made a lot of money off the suffering of others. And when they get old, they start giving a lot of their money away. Rockefeller did this. Gates is doing this. I mean, it's nothing new. It's nothing cool. And, but when I start falling for that advertiser, I'm not in control anymore. Now, there's some shows, like BenRev, at BenRev.com, done by StankDog. I think he would quit doing his radio show before he took in an advertiser, because he's not going to be somebody's bitch. And that makes his show his, and his contribution to the world. So, I'm paying a little bit of money for hosting, he's paying a little money for hosting, I think he's paying a lot more for hosting than I am, but we're able to transmit, kinda, to the whole world. So, definitely, radio programming, even though this isn't over the radio, it's moving up a notch. Now, I don't like being a bitch. Tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is. I make a radio show, it's called Infonomicon, like I just said. No ads, and it's free to everyone. And, there's good people like Jason Scott that are gonna mirror Infonomicon at his website, like techfiles.com, or Mobile Digit mirrors my show. It's going to be around long after I'm not. When I decide, oh, I can't do this internet shit anymore, I've got to have a real job. And I'm also going to recommend that someone pay attention to me, just for a little while. And I want you to make a website that lists all the completely free, as in you don't have to pay for them, and you can do with them what you want under a license, kind of like the Creative Commons. And if someone wants to make this website, I'll provide the hosting for it. And don't just do podcasts, because there's a lot of shows that don't do the podcast thing. Just any genre, completely free internet radio. Because I'm not going to be somebody's bitch, pay my own bills, be all right. Now, one last thing. I don't really want to make this whole internet radio podcasting thing into a business. As you saw with radio, businesses are regulated by the government. Let's keep internet radio free for the masses. And let's keep it a place where people like you and me can share with the world and practice truly free speech. Speech that is devoid from others' influences and government regulation. Let's keep this for everybody. Well, Infonomicon is the news you need, like it or not. So let's go on from me just talking, and let's go to a little bit of news. Clear Channel is going to start podcasting clips of radio shows. Just as a side note, remember this little fact. The radio division of Clear Channel, just the radio division, last year had a revenue of $3.75 billion. They're going to have artists, starting with Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20, and they're going to perform four songs that are sound a little different than the radio version, the album version as it would be, and then a cover, and these artists are going to perform free to advertise their albums. So they're performing free just to get some publicity so they can make sure Clear Channel some money and the record company money. And Clear Channel's radio division posted $3.75 billion in revenue last year. That sounds about up the alley for Clear Channel. Now, twice a year, Mr. William Gates goes to a little retreat. And he goes out to a cottage that he owns, and he reads stuff for a week, and he eats a lot of grilled cheese, and he drinks a lot of Orange Crush. And I was reading this article. It's kind of long. It's important, because he's a big name. But I found something really, really kind of funny in it. He enters his comments, and he sends emails to people about what he reads, and he reads papers, things like that. And he types them up. He's got two Dell screens on his computer, so he can see lots of screen real estate. I get through Bill Gates, you can afford lots of nice stuff. But he enters his comments and links for the documents, and then he backs them up by printing them out for a paper version. Now, if you're Bill Gates, you'd think you'd have a computer that wouldn't crash, but obviously he's not an idiot, and he likes to back up things on paper. Well, our next news item is about two new Supreme Court cases that are about to go on. The first case is going to determine whether companies that provide peer-to-peer networks, which allow computer users to share downloaded music and movies with each other, along with other things, are liable when consumers use their systems to transfer copyrighted materials. 28 entertainment companies, including Walt Disney, Time Warner, and Viacom, say the networks are legally responsible and are asking the Supreme Court to overturn two lower court rulings that found otherwise. At the heart of this argument is a 1984 Supreme Court decision, some of y'all know what I'm about to say, involving home videotape recorders known as Betamax. Now that argument, that fight, pitted Sony Corporation, which made Betamax recording machines, against Universal City Studios, which alleged that the equipment infringed copyrights on movies aired on television. The High Court ruled 5-4 in favor of Sony, finding that providers of recording equipment weren't liable for contributory infringement of copyrights if the product had substantial non-infringing uses. Now, the Betamax decision struck a balance in deciding the legal uses of recorders outweighed the unlawful ones. Now, one of the key people in that case is a guy that I just love to fucking hate because he's just a dumb motherfucker. And he had a great quote. I've played it on the show before. But he said, for the Supreme Court. Now, this quote, we're just going to laugh at. It's fucking ridiculous. But think about it in the context of what's going on today. Why would the Grokster people be responsible for what the people are trading on there? That's like saying that AT&T is liable for what I say on the telephone. Because they're just providing a service. They're a common carrier, as it would be. Anyway, Jack Valenti said that some people say that the VCR is the greatest friend that of the American film producer ever had. Yeah, because it helped get his film out there, buddy. I say to you that the VCR is to the American film producer and the American public as the Boston Strangler is to the woman home alone. Oh, poor Jack. You know, the VCR, of course, was found to have, or the Betamax, was found to have good, honest, legal things that you could do with it. And it outweighed the illegal uses of it. Just like the telephone, you can use it for legal things, but there's a lot of legal things, obviously business, internet, shit like that, that has to go through. Jack Valenti's just a dumb shit, and this whole case is a dumb shit. Grokster shouldn't be liable for what the users do on it. They're the common carrier. And the second one is a case that examines whether consumers can choose their own internet provider when they get online via high-speed connections provided by cable company. Just like the phone company has to, you know, let people use DSL and long-distance things like that through their network, the cable company wasn't upset then, but now when they're having to do it so that people can get a AOL high-speed and it goes through your cable, they're a little upset. They're like, oh no, we paid for all this, blah, 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 blah. Well, if you're going to be a local monopoly, you can just shut the fuck up and you can learn to share. They teach it in fucking kindergarten. Well, if this is your first time listening to the show, I hope that you enjoyed it. Our website is infonomicon.org. My name is Droops. My email address is droops@infonomicon.org. That's D-R-O-O-P-S. We have a phone number. It's 206-337-1628. Call us and leave a message. We're always looking for people to give us a shout or people to record something that we can put up on the radio for other people to learn from. And our closing music tonight is Eyes of the World. It's a clip from a Grateful Dead show from December 29th, 1984. Anyway, I've been Droops, and we're Mickey Finn.